91.9 FM. I'm Rosalind Scott.
And I'm Ken Jones. Coming up tomorrow morning on KBOO. At 7, it's Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez. At 8, it's the Abe and Joe Talk Radio Show with, you guessed it, Abe and Joe. At 9, an alternative radio law professor Marjorie Cohn speaks on death from above drones. At 10, it's Air Cascadia. Headlines, interviews, and commentary with Chris Andre. At 10:15, Flashpoints, investigative news radio with host Dennis Bernstein. At 11, on stage and studio, host Dee Mae Roberts presents two different pivotal times of Oregon World War II history. First, we'll find out about a new musical play called Vanport by Shalanda R. Then we'll hear about Never Give Up, an event that honors Portland native Minoru Yasui, who challenged the constitutionality of a curfew imposed on people of Japanese descent during the start of World War II in Portland. And at 11:30 on Art Focus, local artist Deb Stoner talks about her botanical portraits at Camerawork Gallery. Thank you, KBOO members, for your generous support for your community radio station. If you're not a current member, you can become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate Today. Now stay tuned for News in Depth as we hear from KBOO's Ryan Stroyer. He joined local climate action groups as they spoke out against the actions of the Shell Oil Company on Saturday. Good night, Rosalyn.
Good night, Ken. Good night, Danielle.
KBOO News in Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
Climate activist groups gathered around the country on Saturday in protest of Shell's plans for exploratory oil drilling in the Arctic Ocean. In Portland, 350PDX, the Climate Action Coalition, and others gathered at the Columbia Park Annex in North Portland under the chant Shell No, in protest of a Shell icebreaker coming into a North Portland port for repairs. The MSV Fenica was damaged on July 3rd, and Shell wants to have it repaired before the drilling season begins. The event featured 350 Massachusetts member Ken Ward, who shared this story about his own climate activism.
Our inability to even create an effective debate about the end of the world. It seems like we ought to have been able to at least do that. And we weren't doing that very well. And I felt like, especially living in the state of Thoreau and others, that it was time to try to do things where we put our bodies directly on the line. So with a friend of mine, Jay O'Hare, who's a sailmaker, a Quaker from Cape Cod, we bought a lobster boat, a 33-foot lobster boat, and after having spent a little bit of time looking at the Brayton Point Power Plant, which is the largest source of carbon emissions from Pennsylvania to New Brunswick, we went there one day and anchored in the front of a coal ship that was transporting mountaintop removed coal from West Virginia by way of Hampton Roads to this plant. We had no idea it was going to happen. We had a couple of people on the shore to support us, most of them from 350 Massachusetts. We ended up spending 7.5 hours with three members of a Coast Guard boarding party, which was fun. They never went to the bathroom once, and I still don't quite figure out how that happened. They had immense iron concentration or depends or something. We thought we would be there for about an hour. We were surprised that we were there for a day. Turns out the Coast Guard was surprised because they couldn't quite figure out which law we had broken. They knew we should leave, and eventually they did something that we hadn't anticipated and none of the attorneys or anybody else that we had consulted had anticipated. We thought we'd just be arrested and they moved the ship. They didn't do that. They said, well, you're in violation of this section of the federal regulations and we're fining you $40,000 a day starting now. And we looked at each other and I thought, well, that's my kid's college fund right there. And he's a broke sailmaker. So we said, okay, we'll move. In retrospect, we might have stayed. But then we had the problem of we had rigged our ship so that we couldn't move it. The anchor was, we had a 250-pound anchor with about 100 pounds of chain attached to it, which we had put through a section between where the rudder and the propeller is, and it was under the water. There was no easy way to get at it. They said, would you like our help? We said, we'd love some help. They got on a conference call and came back and said, you know, we discussed it with the higher-ups, and they said, you got yourself into this mess. You need to get yourself out of this mess. So we tried for a while. It didn't work, and eventually we had to pay somebody to come lift it. And then they issued us a citation for failure to have a foghorn on board and let us go, which we were astounded at. And we went and had a dinner, and then over a course of about 2-3 weeks, there was a debate between 5 different law enforcement agencies as to what to do with us. We now know from circumspect sources within the Coast Guard that there was in fact a debate within the Coast Guard about what to do with us at the point when we were anchored there. And we had assumed that that debate, that there would be such a debate, and that that debate would be between people who were arguing that we should be charged severely, like under the Patriot Act, because provisions we had violated technically, or provisions, those provisions, and maybe people who were more moderate and would do what they actually did. Well, it turns out that the actual debate was between people who are arguing for the moderate approach, which they did take, and others who were arguing that they should simply leave us alone because we were at anchor, the ship was docked, we were engaged in a legitimate First Amendment protest on something that the Coast Guard actually cares about, climate change, which is astounding. One of the things that I take away from this experience, I mean, we can see it in Seattle, and I hope we're going to create the same thing here, is that when you create important points of moral conflict, it gives people who are right now in positions of authority and elsewhere an opportunity to act correctly on their conscience. They're simply looking for that.
Oregon Senator Jeff Merkley followed Ward, speaking about the legislation he plans to introduce to Congress regarding the activities of fossil fuel companies.
Hi, everybody. How you doing? Thank you so much for coming out to make such an important point. We have a lot of folks from 350, I think. Any folks? Yes? Thank you so much for coming in from the Sierra Club. All right, great. And Carbon Coalition? A few others? Well, you have come today to put a punctuation mark. I guess I've been doing too much speaking on this topic. A punctuation mark on the fact that we have got to stop drilling in the Arctic. Yes. Now, it is particularly a point here in Oregon as a icebreaker is coming here to get repaired, and it kind of focuses the mind about that, because what happened? The icebreaker got a hole in it. And what happened in 2012 when Shell went up to the Arctic? Well, they had an oil rig catch on fire. They had an oil rig go aground. They had one break free of its tow. And think about the type of calamity that's going to occur when another accident occurs and oil leaks in to the Arctic Ocean. Can we let that happen?
No!
And Shell no. The challenge here is the Arctic waters are so cold, the environment won't recover. It's very fragile. It's full of endangered species. There is no support infrastructure to tackle the problems that occur. Think of what it took with Deepwater Horizon. It took months. It took a massive amount of infrastructure. And that was in the Gulf of Mexico, warm water, big cities nearby, tons of boats. This is the Chukchi Sea. It's way north. It's in the Arctic Circle. There are no big cities nearby. There is no infrastructure nearby. And there is an incredibly fragile ecosystem. So this really is just one clear path to what we should do to protect the Arctic. And that's to say, Shell no to drilling in the Arctic. And there is another big issue here, which is carbon pollution. Now, the founder of 350.org, he wrote to the president, he said there are 4 things you can do in the last year and a half of the presidency that will have a big impact on global warming. 1, no more coal leases on public grounds. That would be a good thing to do. 2, no pipelines that facilitate exploitation of the Canadian tar sands. 3, no offshore drilling of the continental United States. And I think you all know what 4 was.
Carbon tax.
4 was no drilling in the Arctic. No drilling in the Arctic. So I introduced a bill this week. It's Bill, Senate Bill 1794, and it basically is the No More Drilling in the Arctic bill. It says no renewal of any of these leases, no other government permits, and no future leases. In other words, together, let's step forward and say as a nation, by law, by our action, no more drilling in the Arctic. So folks, I just want to thank you all so much for coming out here to make your voices heard on this important issue. This issue is an incredibly important ecosystem, and the bigger picture of carbon pollution is essential to the preservation of our planet. You know, we are now the chairs, the United States is the chair of the Arctic Council, starting in April. And when former Senator Kerry, now Secretary Kerry, took the gavel, he talked quite a bit about the fact that as the United States being the chair, we were going to focus on stewardship and care of the Arctic ecosystem. Well, I think we're all here to say to Secretary Kerry and here to say to President Obama that if you want to exercise stewardship of the Arctic, that means no drilling in the Arctic. Thank you all so much to be here today in counterpart with demonstrations all across the United States on this Action Day for an action that is so important to the future of our planet. Thank you. Let's hear it one more time for our champion, Senator Merkley.
All right, and very quickly, I just have a few comments that I'd like to make. Senator Merkley alluded to everything we know, that all the misdeeds of Shell, all the accidents that they've had.
That's Andy Magi, the chapter director of the Oregon Sierra Club. He followed the senator's speech with a sobering reminder of recent events.
But as we talk about the Arctic and our larger fight against fossil fuels and climate change, I just wanted to make you aware of a few things. Here are three things that have happened in the last 48 hours. There's an oil spill near the Great Barrier Reef. Canada's largest recent oil spill happened in Alberta in the last 2 days. And an oil train derailed in Montana, spilling 35,000 gallons of oil into the local ecosystems and communities. So I think a better slogan for the oil industry might be, if we can drill it, we can spill it. Right, feel free to use that if you want. But it's important to note that while today we're here to talk about the Arctic, many of you, in fact, I would venture to guess all of you, are engaged in this fight on a daily basis, whether it's fighting a refinery in Longview, a propane terminal in Portland, oil trains, coal trains, whatever it might be. We're fighting this fight together every day. And when it comes to our campaign about the Arctic, today is our first step, and I'm thrilled to be taking it with you all here today.
After the speakers were finished, I spoke to Mia Reback, who organized the event.
My name is Mia Reback, and I am an organizer with 350 PDX and Rising Tide, and we are here today organizing a rally to kick off the Shell No opposition here in Portland.
What are these actions that are coming up, and why are they important?
So Shell is starting their exploratory drilling in the Arctic this summer. Hopefully not. They're trying to. And what we are doing here is in coordination and in tandem with resistance and organizing happening all over the Pacific Northwest, most notably in Seattle and Bellingham, Washington. And so specifically here today, we are gathering people to really start to pull together our opposition and kind of say, you know, Portland is a green city. We are not going to be complicit in Arctic drilling. Climate change impacts all of us. We need no new fossil fuels. They need to stay in the ground.
So, Mia, can you tell me a little bit about upcoming actions related to the Shell icebreaker coming into port?
Yeah, there will be a series of actions both on land and in the water, kind of the famous kayaktivism, too, is coming to Portland. We're going to have some kayaktivism here.
And what is kayaktivism?
Kayaktivism is activism that takes place in a kayak, canoe, or other boat. It's a really great new term that came out of the organizing in Seattle. And we encourage people who want to get involved and stay tuned to check out the 350PDX Facebook page or the Portland Rising Tide Facebook page, or visit either of those websites for information on how to sign up to be informed of upcoming actions in the plug-in.
Come back on. It's using the safety of the mind. If they kill somebody, they only pay a fine. No, we can't breathe, but we burn. No, 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 we can't breathe, but we burn. We're crying out loud, when we gonna learn that we can't breathe, but we burn. Old guys got a way to gas by their stuff. Changes where the poisons go, I think we've had enough. Don't you fall for propane, that fracking is the worst. The energy is green and good for planet Earth. Got to change our course, new way of doing things. Yes, I'm talking solar, water, and the winds of change. Don't really have a choice, and we've got to do it fast. We want to make the same mistakes and start with biomass. Cause we can't breathe what we burn, no, no. Breathe, but we burn. We're crying out loud, when we gonna learn that?
That's We Can't Breathe What We Burn by local songwriter Jay, that's the letter J, Bruce, 38. For KBOO News in Portland, I'm Ryan Stroyer.
We've got the technical knowledge that we should start to use.
The time is 6 p.m. and you're listening to KBOO, Portland 90.7 FM. Tonight on Labor Radio, we will be listening to The Union Edge. We will hear a discussion on the difference between men and women in the workplace, followed by Buck Gino of Work in Progress Radio, talking about the struggle of low-wage workers in America. And at 6:30 is Prison Pipeline with a discussion about marijuana legalization in Oregon, followed by Hard Knock Radio at 7.